Amen. Thank you, Caleb and Kelsey and Christy. For those of you that don't know, that those three young, or two young ladies and young man, is Miss Bobby Cavanis's grandchildren. And of course, they're Mrs. Smith and my grandchildren also. And we flew Caleb and Kelsey down to spend 2 weeks with us at this time, and we have had a ball. I am about as tired as a 70-year-old man can get trying to keep up with two young whippersnappers. But it's been a delight. I can't tell you what it means to a granddaddy's heart. Open your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and we shall begin to read in verse number 11. If you will stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we shall begin to read. The Bible says, "For there is no respect of persons with God." You think you've got something special going with God, and God's going to let some things slide with you? Nay, nay. No, no. For there is no respect of persons with God. He treats the big ones and the little ones, the rich ones and the poor ones, the socialite and the down and outer, by the same standards. He can love them all equally and bless them if they are obedient to His will and His word. We began to get too big for our britches. We enjoy a little success in life and we think that we can get away with a few things. And we start dropping this standard and that standard, and before you know it, we've lost the fellowship and the power of the God that blessed us to begin with. God is no respect of, for there's no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearer of the law are just before God, but the doer of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing, or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. We'll leave off reading there, and I want you to notice the statement in verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Title of my message is in the first statement there, the day when God judges the secrets of men. Think about it a moment. Oh, we think about God judging that which is open and known. But God knows our heart, and He knows the secrets of our life and the secrets of our heart. And there's coming a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Father, help me this evening as we look at this. So many times as Christians, we begin to take our walk with God for granted. We don't do the spiritual upkeep that's necessary to keep our walk with You what it ought to be. And we begin to let things slip. We begin to do things that we'd never think of doing if we were right with God. We begin to do things in secret. And then those secret sins become open sins. And we fail to realize that one day every one of us will stand before you and give an account of our life. Help me to challenge your children tonight to be faithful in our daily walk, to be faithful in building our family, to be faithful in strengthening our marriages, to be faithful in serving you in the ministry according to your will through the church. For one day there'll come that day when we'll all stand before you and be judged. Even the secrets of our heart will be judged by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. Now help me to preach tonight with liberty and power, and use your word to bring conviction where conviction is needed, and challenge where challenge is needed. And Lord, use your word tonight to call out men and women to serve you, to dedicate themselves to you, to live for you day by day, to raise their family in such a way that God will be glorified. We'll thank you for what you shall do in our hearts. Don't let one of us leave here untouched by the work of the Holy Spirit tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. May I say by way of introduction that the Bible declares that there's coming a day when God shall judge every person who has ever lived. Now, let me read you from four passages of Scripture. In Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, that's written to Christians. The judgment seat of Christ is the judgment seat where Christians will stand and give an account of their life, and their life will be judged in accordance to how they've lived it to the Word of God and the will of God for their life. "For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Then in Romans chapter 2, verse 16, the word of our text, "In the day," there's coming a day, "when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel." Over in Acts chapter 17, when the apostle Paul was preaching on Mars Hill, in his message he said, "And of the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised Jesus from the dead." God's not going to wink at sin. He's going to judge us one day by Jesus Christ. Then look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. The Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ, because of that judgment, because of our need of a Savior, because of our sinfulness, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now let me say to you tonight, in that day of judgment, all of mankind will be weighed on the same scales. We'll all be measured by the same measuring stick. There'll be no special privileges given to some and not given to others. Romans 2:11 tells us that there is no respect of persons with God. No one will be exempt. Every one of us will face God with our life and how we've lived it and how we're living it. However, there in Hebrews, the scripture I've just read tells us that because we must face this dread day of judgment, Christ died for our sins so that we could be saved. Christ died for our sins so that at our judgment, the record book would reveal for the saved that all sin has been blotted out and paid for in Jesus Christ. The principle of divine judgment is final. No second chances. No reprieves. There's no redress from the application on that fearful day of final judgment. Every person will stand before God. Saved and lost alike have their appointed day with their particular judgment. Though I'm preaching a general message about judgment, please understand there's no such thing as a general judgment. All of the saved will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, where we'll give an account of our life as Christians and how we've lived it for Jesus Christ. Our stewardship will be called into question, and we'll have to give an account of our time, our talents, and our treasure, and how we lived our life in the will of God. That'll take place at the judgment seat of Christ. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 15. The judgment for the unsaved is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. The judgment seat of Christ takes place shortly after the rapture, when the saved are caught up together to be with the Lord in the air forever. While we're up there, the tribulation will be going on the earth. And at the end of that tribulation time, we'll come back with the Lord as He does battle with Antichrist and the false prophet at the Battle of Armageddon. We'll rule and reign with Him on this earth for 1,000 years. And at the 1,000 years end, the judgment of the unsaved will take place. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Every unsaved person who has ever lived will stand before that Great White Throne. The books will be open. They'll be judged out of those things written in the book. They'll give an account of every time they said no to Jesus Christ, every time they turned away from the gospel, every time they mocked at Christianity. Oh, they're mocking today in America. They're mocking today in the White House. They're mocking today in the courtrooms. They're mocking today in the Congress and the Senate. But there's going to come a day when all of the mockers, whether they be in California or New York or Texas or Middle America or Florida or wherever they be, will stand before God and give an account. Everyone. These judgments are separated by approximately 1,000 years. And tonight, I want us just to take a look in general at the judgment and understand what God has said here in this simple sentence in verse number 16. How astounding it is. I want you to consider with me tonight just 5 simple thoughts. They're right there in the verse. First of all, I want you to notice in this life, in this light, what an expectation awaits us in the day. In the day. Do you ever think about that day? God has a day on His calendar when I'm going to stand before Him. God has a day that you're going to stand before Him. There's no getting away from it, no excusing it. You won't be able to weasel your way out, excuse your way out, lie your way out, buy your way out. There is a day. A day. We must learn to live with the reality that one day we shall stand before God in judgment. Do you ever think about that as you go through your daily life? As you go about doing your business? As you talk your talk? As you make your decisions? As you play your games? There is coming a day! A day! In the day, the Bible says. A real day. Just like there was a day that Jesus stepped out on nothing and spoke the worlds into existence. Just like there was a day when he said to Noah, get into the ark, and the rain started. Just like there was a day when he sent his son to die on that old rugged cross. Just like he prophesied there would be a day, 3 days and three nights later, when he'd arise from that dead and arise from that grave. He wants us to understand that there is coming a literal day. Not a figurative day. Not a mythical day. A literal day. Just like I got up this morning, my alarm went off and I got up on Sunday morning, January 24th. A real day. There is coming a day when we're going to stand before God and be judged. You need to live with that expectation. You need to live with that reality. We have so often gotten away with wrong that people think they can live in sin and never face the consequences of it. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. No matter what you think, no matter what your conclusion is, God says you can live with this expectation. There is a day. A day. A real day. A scheduled day when we'll stand before Him and give an account unto Him. We shall be judged. The Bible tells us, and the honesty of God demands it. God said it. For Him not to do it, He'd be a liar. He'd be less than God. Why, He'd be no better than we are if He lied about it. The honesty of God demands the fact that there is a day when He shall judge the world. The holiness of God requires it. Sin may look as though it's in control, and the devil may make you think he's in charge. But I want you to know there's still a holy God set behind the controls of this world. And just in a moment, with one thought coming from His mind, this world could be sent into chaos and come to its end, and we could stand before God in that day. The holiness of God demands it. You don't think God's going to allow His creation to sin and sin and sin and sin without ever having to face consequences for our sin? No. There's coming a day. A day. In the day, the Bible says. The death of Christ assures it. When Jesus Christ died and rose again, He let us know that He is God. He is the Messiah. He is the Creator. And He is the Judge. And that resurrected Savior now sits at the right hand of God making intercession for us. We don't have to live in sin. We don't have to live a wasted life. We don't have to rebel against God. We can have life. We can have victory. We can have hope. We can have peace. We can have glory in our heart and in our soul, though we're living in this old wicked world. Because Jesus has finished His work, and He's at the right hand of God, our mediator, our intercessor, our go-between. But One of these days he's going to step off of that throne. And we're going to stand before him as judge and give an account why we as Christians accepted him as our Savior, told everybody how much we loved him, and went on and willfully lived like the devil and like the world. We're going to have to give an account for our unfaithfulness, our lack of dedication, our lack of worship, our lack of service, our lack of ministry, our lack of devotion, our lack of giving, our lack of obeying the will of God. In the day, there's coming a day, what an expectation awaits us. Back a few years ago, you may remember it is on the news and in the newspapers. I think it was in 1989. Some of you are so young you couldn't remember that. But 12 young men, football stars at Carter High School in Fort Worth or in Dallas. 12 young men got together and became a gang of thieves. They committed armed robbery in the Dallas area. In fact, they committed more robberies than the infamous bank robbers Bonnie and Clyde did in the 30s, all over the city. They must have thought that they'd never get caught. Or if they did, they were just teenagers in high school and football stars, and they'd never go to prison, they'd just get probation. They got caught. They found out being football stars and teenagers didn't go very far with their judge. They were found guilty. And they were sentenced in four different sentences. Some were sentenced to 25 years, others to 20, others to 15, some to 10. That judge didn't take into consideration their teenagers, that they were teenagers, or that they were football heroes. He looked at them as guilty criminals, guilty of armed robbery. Some of them would have been playing in the NFL now, but they forfeited all, thinking they could sin and get by with it. There was a day when they got caught. And God will not take into consideration our popularity, our social standing, as we stand before Him. He has set a day when, in all honesty and truth, a just and holy God will judge us according to truth and according to the secrets of our heart. What an expectation awaits us. Secondly, what an experience that faces us. In the day, God shall judge. Look at it, it's right there. In the day when God shall judge, we shall not stand before a mere human judge. That'd be bad enough. I can't imagine having to stand before a human judge. I've never been arrested. I've never been in jail. I can't imagine standing in a courtroom before a judge, being judged for a crime I committed. But we're not going to stand before a mere human judge. In that day, we'll be judged by God Himself. What an experience that awaits, that faces us. We shall be judged. You know, a human judge might judge us unfairly, but God's not going to judge us unfairly. He's going to judge us on the merits of our life based on our relationship with Jesus Christ and our obedience to Him as children. His children, servants, sons and daughters. We shall all stand before the holy God of creation, the God of eternity, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who left heaven and became flesh and bore our sins on the cross of Calvary and died so we could be saved. We're going to be judged by the one that we walked down the aisle one day and said, I want to accept Him as my Savior. And when we accept Him as our Savior, we're not just using Him as a fire escape from hell. We're giving Him our eternity, but we're also giving Him our life. And whether God calls you to be a missionary on the mission field or a layman or woman or a teenager in His church, God expects us to give Him our life and live our life as a Christian for His glory and for His honor. We shall all stand before that holy God in all of His power and all of His knowledge, nothing being hid from Him. Every knee shall bow before Him. There's coming a day when the kings and the rulers, the presidents and the potentates, the preachers and the popes, all will bow their knee as they're judged by a thrice holy God. In that day when God shall judge. God shall judge. No wonder that in that day, the Bible says, the wicked world, when that wicked world faces God, that holy, holy, holy God, men will run and hide and cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the face of Him who will judge the secrets of our heart. You read it over in the Revelation. Instead of facing Him in judgment, seeing His eyes, His face, they cry for mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the face of God who will judge them. What an expectation awaits us. What an experience that we must face. Let me say also, to consider what an exposure we must endure. In the day God shall judge the secrets of men. Dear God, it's going to be bad enough just to stand before Him and be judged in reference to our Christian life, our service life. That's going to be tough enough. But He said, the secrets of men shall be judged. Those rooms up here and in here that you've never allowed Him to enter in, He's going to throw the door open wide and we'll be judged. He will judge our open and public lives. He'll judge our personal, secret lives. And the Bible tells us He'll even go further than that. He'll judge the intent of our heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged swords, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eye of Him with whom we have to do. He's talking about God. What an exposure we must endure. Say, but preacher, is there anything we can do now? Oh, yes. But most aren't willing to do it. You see, if we'll honestly come to Jesus in repentance, confessing our sins, He'll forgive those sins. He'll blot them out of His book. He'll erase them out of His memory. He'll never remember them again. We're so cold and carnal and worldly, even though we boast that we're Christians, we don't take care of the daily spiritual maintenance of our Christian life. And the book is filled and filled, page after page after page, with those secret sins and those activities and the laziness and the backsliding that we never deal with and get right. You know, those things you know that's not right with God. Those things you do and you know this is not pleasing to God, I ought not be doing. Those things you make sure nobody's looking. Those things you're ashamed to tell anybody. It's coming that day. It's coming that day when the secrets of our heart are going to be made manifest. What an experience that awaits us. What an expectation that faces us. And what an exposure that we must endure in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. That word men does not mean just the male gender only. It means mankind. He'll judge our open sin, open life. He'll judge our personal secret life. He'll judge us on the basis of the intent of our heart. And then may I say, fourthly, oh, what an executor of judgment we must face in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. I remember as a boy, I'd do something to disobey and displease Mama. She loved me. She gave birth to me. And I'd stand before her and she'd talk to me. I'd see her broken heart, her disappointment in me, her tears. And man, next thing I knew, tears were coming down my cheeks because I broke her heart. What's it going to be like when we stand before Jesus? And He's there with the scars of the thorns on His brow, the scars in His hands where He was pierced for me and you, the scars in His feet, the open wound in His side, knowing that He endured all of that for me. And I've got to look upon His face. And I don't think it's going to be necessarily a face of anger as much as it is a face of disappointment. That we took His love, we took His sacrifice, and we played with it like it was a game. We treated it as though it wasn't more valuable than a toy, when it makes the difference between heaven and hell, when it changed us from children of Satan to children of God, when it washed away our sins and gave us an opportunity to live for Him and honor Him and magnify Him and enjoy His blessings here. And yet, how many times did we make decisions that took us away from His will? And out of His church, and out of our service and ministry. And we did it because we wanted to, giving no thought to what He wanted for us. You see, He has the right to expect us to live our lives for His glory. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. When we come down this aisle and accept Jesus Christ, we're giving up our life to live it the way we want to live it. When we accept Jesus, suddenly we are a purchased possession. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. we don't belong to us. We belong to Him. And not only is He our Savior, but He is our Master and our Lord. He is our boss. He is our God. And one day, it'll be that same Jesus that we'll stand before. In the day when He shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Oh my, I don't know. That may be nothing to you. You may be able to push that off with no thought. I can't. Because one day this guy is going to stand before Him. One day Brother Muse. One day Brother Garner, Mrs. Garner, Brother Mrs. Jones. And I could go through here and call every one of your name, because there is a day set when you will stand before Him. He saved us from a worthless life, a life that had no future here and a life that had no future in eternity except hell. He's given us a life worth living here in heaven to look forward to. And He wants us to live our life for Him. And one day we'll stand before Him and be judged by Him. And in that day, we're either going to be rewarded for faithfulness or suffer the loss of reward and endure the shame that we accepted the gift of eternal life and then abused it by living for ourselves and giving Him no part in our life. What an executor of judgment. We'll be judged by Jesus, who was judged by God the Father in our place, so we could stand free and clean and clear in that day. And yet we ignore what we need to do to maintain our spiritual life. You see, when we backslide, when we back away from the will of God and our relationship with Jesus Christ, that's not going to be a good day in that day when we have to face that. Now, that's not God's will for our life. God wants us to be able to stand there and He look at the record book and look up with a smile and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He wants it to be a day of rejoicing, a day of rewarding, a day of glory, a day of crowning. We need to get honest about this, and because of our laziness and lackadaisical attitude when it comes to our walk with God, what is that day going to be like? I'm not talking about Christians losing their salvation. You're not going to be judged to see whether you get into heaven or not. That's settled in Jesus Christ. But I want you to know our salvation is meant to be more than just a ticket to heaven. It means that God has given us a new life here and a new opportunity to live for Him and serve Him and glorify Him and be blessed by Him. Be rewarded by Him. We live our life as though there's never going to be a day of judgment. There's never going to be a day when we stand before Jesus and give an account. And we live our life for us, to please the flesh, to live according to our will with no thought of His will. Oh, what a day. We'll stand before the One that was tempted in all points, as we are tempted, yet without sin. We'll stand before the One who is holy, and yet He became sin for us so that we could stand before Him forgiven, saved. He is God, yet He allowed Himself to be judged for sinners. He is life, but He came to this earth to die the death that we deserved. As we stand before Christ in that day of judgment, we shall see the scars of the thorns, the nails, the beatings, and understand He endured it all for us. And we'll remember all of the opportunities we had to serve Him and to love Him. But yet we chose to entangle our lives in the cares of this world. And we'll end up facing Him, if we're not careful, with a wasted life. Those who had opportunity to be saved but rejected Him will face Him in that day in all of their sins. Those who plan to be saved someday but never did accept Him, they'll be judged just as all lost sinners will be judged. Those Christians who plan to serve Him someday but never did, they let things stand between them and the will of God, will stand before Him in that day when they must face Him. Doesn't matter what day it is, whether it's the judgment for the saved or the judgment for the unsaved, every one of us will stand in that day before Him. And we'll be giving account of the life that we lived. One more thought and I'll be through. What an examination we must go through. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, listen, according to my gospel. The measuring stick of judgment will not be the popular opinion of our day. The measuring stick of judgment for our lives will be the Word of God. We can live by it here, or we'll be judged by it there. Preacher, I was only a Christian for 23 years. I didn't know. Where you been? What you been doing? You ought to learn something in 23 years if you put yourself in the house of God under the preaching of God. But no, we want churches today that'll let us have programs that'll please the flesh. We don't want programs where God is to be preeminent and we're to worship Him and serve Him and preach His Word and sing His praises. Once a week is enough, if that. There's other things I want to do on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. But go ahead and do them. But remember, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Faithful does not mean occasionally. The measuring stick of judgment for our lives will be the Word of God. Every person who has rejected the gospel, the Bible, will be judged by the Word of God they reject. Every Christian that chose not to live by the principles of the Word of God in that day will be judged by the principles they rejected. Well, preacher, I was never convicted about that. Show me where you have to be convicted about it if God said it. As a boy growing up, I never really got convicted about some of the things Daddy told me to do until he got after me with a razor strap, but it was too late. And in that day when conviction falls on you heavy, you're standing before God, it's too late. God said it now, that ought to be enough, shouldn't it? Isn't it amazing how we argue about the Scripture and we're always trying to find a way out? A way not to obey what it says. In that day, we're going to be judged according to the book. Every Christian who refuses to live by the principles of the Bible will be judged by them. And I've said all I need to say tonight. I need to ask the question. In that day, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of your life by Jesus Christ according to the gospel, how will you stand in that day? How will you fare in that day? How will it turn out in that day? Is there a chance he's going to look at you and say, oh, I had such great things planned for you, but you chose to live according to your will and not my will? Will you look in his face and see disappointment? Will he look in your face and see shame and regret? How will he find you in that day? In that day, it's too late to do anything about it. And the best we can do about our past is confess it as what it is and ask for his cleansing by the blood of Jesus. He said if we'd do it, he would do it. But I can have a difference. I can make a difference in today and the rest of my life. I may not have 50 years to give to him faithfully, but I'd rather face him with 5 years or 2 years than waste them all. Because there is coming a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to his gospel. Father, that's our message tonight. It's not a happy message. It ought to be. It's happy to those that are living right and those that are doing right and those that are not making excuses and running from the will of God. It's a happy day for those who have not changed their mind and said God hasn't called and God hasn't spoken. It's a happy day when we say, Lord, not my will, thine be done, and we begin to live for you and serve you and obey you. Oh, we sang about it this morning in the choir. Oh, happy day! God, it ought to be a happy day to every one of your children. And nobody can correct my life and get right for me. Nobody can do the will of God for me and my life but me. And I can't for these that are listening to me tonight. But, oh God, I pray that you would touch their hearts and help them to look into the depth of their heart and soul and ask several questions. Number one, which judgment will I stand at the judgment seat of Christ where the saved will be judged, or the great white throne judgment where the unsaved will be judged? Does my eternal future hold heaven, or is only hell awaiting for me because I've never accepted Christ? In that day, as a Christian, when I stand before God, will he say, well done, meaning that he's pleased with the life that we've lived as a Christian and the service we've rendered? God, I can't do anything about anybody but me, but I pray you'll speak to every heart as you have spoken to mine. And we'll look into those secret places that nobody else is allowed. And we might have a house cleaning. We might get on our knees without telling anybody else, but tell you all about it and claim the forgiveness that's in Jesus Christ. And begin tonight to live our life to glorify you and to honor you. The Lord, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. And as we stand and begin to sing an invitation song tonight, would you let God speak to your heart? Would you obey Him? Would you come tonight as He speaks to you? Would you come? Talk to one of the men down there. Talk to one of them. Would you come? We have men here to help you and receive you. Would you come?